Ram, Ram. How to root out egotism? It is an error to accept the body as either I or mine. The radical error is to accept it as I. Think over it, that whatever you acquire is not yours, but whatever is yours always remains yours. You are never deprived of it. It always remains yours from the beginning to the end. But whatever is acquired is sure to pass away. Therefore, how can the acquired be called either I or mine? Self existed before acquiring this body and will also exist after the body is gone. Therefore, how can the body be identified with the self? This is the main point. Is there any doubt in it? Is there any contradiction to this point? The body is acquired. In the Gita, the body has been described as a field, kshetra.
Idam shariram kaunteya kshetra mityabhidhiyate. Etadhyoveti tam prahu kshetragya iti tadvida.
Gita, chapter 13, verse 1. The body being addressed as "this is called the field," the knower of the couplet is called the husbandman, kshetragya. This description makes it clear that the husbandman, kshetragya, is different from the field, kshetra. For example, if I know this pillar, the pillar and I are different. The pillar is the object which is known, and I am the knower. I know the body. It means that I am different from the body. Similarly, when we say that this is my abdomen, this is my leg, this is my neck, this is my brain, this is my mind, this is my intellect, and these are my sense organs, it means that they are different from the self. If we think seriously, we come to know that I-ness and mine-ness is also different from the illuminator, self, because I-ness is also seen in the same light. Therefore, I-ness cannot be identified with the self. Accept the fact with a firm belief that I am not the body. I neither was, nor is, nor can be, nor will be the body. I is different from it. How to know it? Did the body have any identity with I? After death, either the body would have gone with I, or I would have lived with the body. But neither I live with the body, nor does the body go with me. Under these circumstances, how can the body be identified with the self? For example, the house and I are different. The house does not go with me. When I go out of the house remains here and I go. It means that I and the house are two separate entities, not one. In the same way, the body and I are two. By having this perception of separation, egotism vanishes. And then, I and the body are seen separate, each having its own separate identity. The body is I, the body is mine, and the body is for me. These are the three wrong conceptions that we have. But the fact is that neither I is the body, nor is the body mine, nor is it for me. The body can't be for me because I live with the same all the time while the body changes constantly. It does not remain the same even for a moment. The man thinks that the body gets separated only when it dies. Otherwise, from birth to death, it is his. But it's a misconception of the dull intellect. If we apply our subtle intellect and see reality in the right perspective, we find that the man does not die all at once, but he dies every moment of his life, from birth to death. For example, if a man has to live for 100 years and he is 1 year old child, it means that he will live a life for 99 years more. He wrongly thinks that the child is growing, but actually he is dying. If he is 1 year old, it means that he has died 1% or 1 year. Similarly, all of us are dying every moment. Therefore, how can the body which is dying every moment be for me, or be mine, or be I? Now think over this point, whether you can keep the body under control. If you can, don't let it be sick, don't let it be weak, and at least don't let it die. But you can't do either of these. How can you claim it as yours? I am ever living. I am the same as I was in childhood, but the body changes every moment. So how can this body be I? Secondly, how can this body be for me? Because one which lives with me all the time can be for me. When it doesn't live with me and is not useful for me all the time, how is it for me? The body has its identity with the material world. Both of them are constituted of the 5 subtle elements: earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Both of them are the same category. We have got the body from the world to serve the world. So instead of accepting it as ours, we should use it for the service of the world. By doing so, our relationship with the world will break off and identity with the body will perish. You may have a doubt. You may say that with the body you can remember God, have meditation and serve people. Thus the body is useful for God realization. But if you give a serious thought to it, you will realize that the body has not proved useful to you, but you have lost your identity and mindness with the body. By God's remembrance and meditation, your inner sense has been purified. And by purified inner sense, you could realize that you are neither the body nor the body is for you. You are the same. The body has not been proved useful. Rather, it has been purified. The sense of I and the sense of mine is impurity. In Gita, God has declared that the yogi performs all actions for self-purification. In this couplet, the world merely will be used with senses, mind, intellect and body separately. That is, merely senses, merely mind, merely intellect and merely body. Chapter 5, verse 2. By using merely, he means that you should not accept your connection with them. To accept your connection with them is impurity. In Ramcharitmanas, it is said that let the impurity of mindness be burnt. This mindness is the filth. What is the reason that we have been practicing constant remembrance of God for several years, yet our mind is not purified? The reason is your attachment or mindness with the mind. This sense of mindness is impurity. You think that remembrance of God will lead you to blessedness. By remembrance of God, by loud chanting and by meditation, etc., the inner sense will be purified and then you will understand that the mind is neither I nor mine. If the body is neither I nor mine, how can it be for you? You are ever separate from the body, mind and intellect. By accepting it as ours, we get attached to it. You think about God with your intellect, mind, and intellect belong to the matter. They are not yours. The matter is different from you. It is alien to you. Therefore, if you have to depend on the alien, you are dependent. Even in meditation and trance, you will have to depend on the matter. But sentience can't be achieved by the matter. It can be achieved by giving up dependence on the matter. Because without giving up dependence on the matter, you can't separate yourself from the material things, body, etc. Therefore, if you achieve the state of benediction by giving them up, how are they useful for you? Giving up dependence on them is useful. So the earlier you give up your dependence on them, the better it is. Try to understand in the right perspective. If you apply your body to remember and worship God, to do charitable and virtuous actions, and to do service to others, but don't apply it for yourself, all these activities will lead you to a state of benediction. Don't think that the body is yours. You have got it from others, and therefore it should be used for the service of others. From others, you have got not only the body, but also other necessities of life, such as food, water, air, house, road, etc. Therefore, you have to apply all the things that you have acquired from others for the service of others. Thus, you will not be indebted to them. Rather, you will be free from the debt. On the other hand, if you accept the material things as yours and for you, you will be indebted to others more and more. Therefore, be free from the debt by serving them. You may wish to use the body for yourself, but it can't be useful for you because you are sentient and the body is matter. Then what should be done? You should break off your relationship with matter. Whatever you do, do it for others, not for yourself. By accepting them for you, your individuality is maintained. It has been said in the scriptures that this oblation is not for us. Brahmani swaha idam na mama. It means that it is not for us. We have to detach ourselves from the oblation or the religious sacrifice. In the Gita, also it has been mentioned that the superior gift is that which is made with the conviction that it is our duty to do so and which has no desire for fruits. In Gita chapter 17 verse 20, if by doing any service to others, you feel proud that you have done some good to others, it's an error on your part because whatever art or knowledge or ability or possession you have received, you have got it from the society. So there is no obligation if you utilize it for the society. If you are proud of it, you develop egotism, and egotism leads to mindness. Therefore, what we call this is neither I nor mine nor for me. How can this be called I? This is not I, and I am not this. How can this body, this mind, this intellect, this life, this sense of I be the self? Neither these are I, nor these are mine. Give a deep thought to understand it. You taught anyone and made him your disciple by giving him Gayatri Mantra, and you became his spiritual guide. Now the guide and the disciple are two, and there is a relationship between the two. This relationship has created a different existence. This relationship is the cause of birth and death. Therefore, root out your relationship with the matter as soon as possible. This detachment from the material world means rooting out egotism. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. From Benedictory Discourses by Swami Ramsukhdasji. For more audio, visit www.swamiramsukhdasji.net.